You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at how state officials are working to make Wisconsinites healthier in five key areas: alcohol, tobacco, nutrition and physical activity, suicide prevention, and opioids.
First, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates cut ties with the Gulf country of Qatar, often pronounced Qatar. Analysts are calling this the worst diplomatic crisis to hit the Gulf Arab states in decades. Some are pointing to President Trump's recent visit to Saudi Arabia as a potential cause of the conflict.
Saeed Khan joins us now. He's a senior lecturer in Near East Asian and Global Studies at Wayne State University. Saeed, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me back, Rob.
Well, bring us to Qatar here and tell us what happened. This is very abrupt. I've seen the word surprising a lot to describe what Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and others have done.
It was. It was quite a shock. As you just mentioned, yesterday, those four countries, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and Bahrain, all voted to, or if you want to call it a vote, they all declared that they were severing ties with their neighbor, Qatar. It's a fairly comprehensive break. It includes a blockade, essentially, of by sea, land, and air, which is going to affect airspace, especially for Qatar Airways, a major international airline. Egypt and Saudi Arabia have cut airspace for flights going in and out of Qatar, as well as for Qatar Airways completely. We find that there is also the recalling of ambassadors and the shutting down of embassies. All Qatari visitors to these four countries have 2 weeks to leave and go back to Qatar, as well as a recall of all Saudi, Egyptian, UAE, and Bahraini citizens from those countries. So it's fairly comprehensive.
And in that list, the cutting off of food supplies, Qatar only borders, has a land border with Saudi Arabia. This could have a huge impact on food supplies. Is that right?
Well, 90% of food is imported into Qatar. That's absolutely right. 40% through this land border. So this is going to be very severe. And again, with the restrictions on airspace, that's not just for commercial passenger flights. It's also going to be for cargo, which would be, again, another way for food to get into the country. So we already see that there are runs at supermarkets all across Qatar with people going into a panic. And this is the month of Ramadan, so people are fasting and also making sure that they have food to break their fast.
Now, the United States has a lot at stake here. This is in the Middle East. This ties into a lot of different stories, including terrorism. One of the arguments, as I understand it, from Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the others, is that Qatar is helping terrorist organizations by providing financial support, they say, providing a physical haven for members of various organizations. Definitely the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda funding, fundraising, Al-Qaeda in Syria fundraising in Qatar, and claims that there's support for ISIS as well. What do we know about Qatar and its connections to terrorist organizations?
Well, Qatar is a land of ironies. I mean, first of all, it is the home to U.S. CENTCOM, so there's clearly an American strategic interest with Qatar. But at the same time, Qatar has also kept itself open to being, for lack of better words, a sanctuary for Islamists and people of various stripes of activity in the region, whether it is members of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, or other Islamists. Now, at the same time, when it comes to these aspersions being thrown at Qatar about giving material support to various terrorist groups or extremist groups, we need to be careful because, number one, that is an accusation that can just as easily be made regarding Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. And second of all, it comes down to the definition of who is considered to be a terrorist by which country or by which one of these monarchies.
Talking to Saeed Khan from Wayne State University about this breakdown in diplomatic ties between Saudi Arabia and Egypt and other countries on the one hand, Qatar, the Gulf state nation, on the other, and what, if anything, it all means for the United States as well. And Saeed, this is a complicated story, another angle here. Saudi Arabia and the others are saying Qatar is too sympathetic to Iran. Now, this is weird. These are Sunni countries saying another Sunni country is too closely aligned with Shia Iran. What do we know about this twist on this story?
Well, this gets down to the crux of the issue, Rob. What we're looking at here is the Gulf Cooperation Council, which is this sort of power broker organization, with Saudi Arabia really being the mothership, but involving Kuwait, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and as well as Oman. This is, of course, where a lot of energy comes from, natural gas and as well as petroleum. But it is also a Sunni Arab core. And it was thought that this would be the major bulwark against Iran within the region. Now, Qatar has a different attitude toward this. Qatar would rather actually play a more medial or moderating role. A few weeks ago, when the president was in the region, in fact, this coincided with the Iranian elections, and Qatar, in fact, congratulated President Hassan Rouhani of his re-election in Iran, as well as a report out of Qatar that said that Iran is a, quote, big power in the stabilization of the region. These are things that fell in disfavor in Saudi Arabia and the UAE, who were hoping to really maintain this united front of Sunni Arab monarchies against Iran, and they felt emboldened with the president's recent visit, and particularly with his language in the Riyadh speech, doubling down and taking a very strong polarized position. Until now, the United States had certainly gone ahead and favored the Sunni Arab countries, but the language now shows that the U.S. has doubled down on this, particularly within the context of the whole Sunni-Shia sectarian language.
You mentioned the moderating role that Qatar was hoping to play. Now we have United States Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. He was talking about this rift and the role the United States could play. He said this in Australia. Here's a listen.
We certainly would encourage the parties to sit down together and address these differences. And we, if there's any role that we can play in terms of helping them address those, we think it is important that the GCC remain unified.
GCC, the Gulf Cooperation Council that you mentioned, Saeed. So what, if any, role would the United States have in this abrupt tiff here going on?
Well, I mean, if we really want to be cynical about this, we could say that this is an opportunity that, on the one hand, the UAE and the Saudis have escalated this tension with Qatar, and it is allowing for a certain space for the United States to come in, show its diplomatic bona fides, show the leadership of the Trump administration to kind of broker a peace, because the United States, after all, has a lot of vested interest in this region, and it would then be seen as an overture. But it's not going to be without some significant demands being on the negotiation table that the UAE and the Saudis are going to ask for. Number one, they are looking for Qatar to curb what they feel is a lot of critical media coverage. Al Jazeera is based in Qatar, and particularly when it comes to some of the Saudi and the Emirates' diplomatic and foreign policy engagements in the region, case in point, the war in Yemen. Al Jazeera has been rather critical of those two countries. They are, as you said before, also going to demand the expulsion of Muslim Brotherhood leaders, Hamas affiliates, and other Islamists, but they are also going to try to reclaim from Qatar control over the Arab public opinion. That seems to be the most prickly issue and the most contentious reason why they're going after Qatar here.
And then people have been wondering about President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia as part of his international trip. He met with the leaders of Saudi Arabia and Egypt, among others. People wondering, did he implicitly or explicitly give a green light saying, hey, yeah, you can crack the whip a little bit, try to get Qatar in line? What are people watching for there?
Well, I think they're definitely looking to see whether the Trump factor played a role in this seemingly out of nowhere escalation in the tensions. There had been tensions in 2002, 2014, where the Saudis had similarly recalled their ambassadors because of a tussle that they had with Qatar. But this is taking it to a whole different level. And I think it's interesting to see that the two heirs apparent in Saudi Arabia and in the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Zayed in UAE, MBS and MBZ respectively, have been playing ever-increasing roles with the White House of trying to broker regional geopolitics. Several meetings with Jared Kushner, as well as with Rex Tillerson and other officials within the White House. So it seems as though this is part of a broader reshifting of priorities, as well as engagements for both the Trump administration and certainly for Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates.
As we wrap up, Saeed, and this comes as Saudi Arabia is leading an effort in Yemen, a bombing campaign there against rebels, Iranian-backed rebels, supposedly. We've got everything going on in Syria. Is there a thought that this ratcheting up of tensions here could lead to some sort of military conflict between the Saudi Arabia and Qatar, Qatar currently involved in that campaign alongside Saudi Arabia in Yemen?
It seems as though that perhaps is not a likely scenario, in great part because of the fact that the U.S. CENTCOM is there. So the U.S. is going to be very, very allergic to any kind of military engagement between them. And again, after Secretary Tillerson's statement in Australia, the idea of having cooler heads prevail and reach the negotiation table. This, again, is a rather unfortunate escalation, and it is a tense time, but it's probably going to be walked back within the next few months. And to be really flippant about this, we also have to remember that in 2022, Qatar is going to be hosting the FIFA World Cup. The one thing that does galvanize this region of the world is soccer. People will want to go to Qatar. Therefore, there have to be diplomatic relations there.
Saeed, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Saeed Khan, senior lecturer in Near East Asian and Global Studies at Wayne State University. He joined us to talk about how several Arab countries, led by Saudi Arabia and Egypt, have cut diplomatic ties with the Gulf state nation of Qatar, home of a major U.S. military base.